Welcome to The Shoreline, brought to you by Shores and Islands, Ohio, the Midwest's hottest vacation destination. My name is Jill Bauer. I am the PR manager for Shores and Islands, Ohio. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Dayton Barnett, who is our social media manager. Dayton and I are here every week to give you the inside scoop on everything happening in our island and coastal communities and the events and attractions that we think you'll want to know more about and hopefully come visit. So, good morning, Dayton. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's kind of a gray, gloomy day here on the North Coast.
A little bit. I'm not a fan, but...
No, me either. But hopefully, we've had some sunny days, and hopefully things will get better and brighter for us, of course. Hopefully, next week, we've got the big eclipse coming up. We're hoping for minimal cloud cover on that day.
Yeah, we might get lucky. We might get lucky. You might get just a perfect clear blue sky.
Yes, fingers crossed on that. So Dayton's always out and about in the community. He's gathering content for our social channels. Of course, you should be following along on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you are. And you should be engaging with us. You know, leave comments and interact. Dayton always answers those comments as well with fun little things. And what have you been up to over on social media lately, Dayton?
I feel like right now is like the calm before the storm, you know, with the exception of the eclipse. And, you know, the storm coming is just the summer season. So I feel like I've been getting ready for the summer and just getting ready for whether it's just collaborations or just what kind of, like, content ideas I want to have for the summer and things that are going to be rolling out. One, like, kind of being like a – we used to do, like, a Sunset Sunday, like, post, but I think I really want to try to get the community engaged on that. I've got a pretty cool idea for that one for a weekly post. But, yeah, so I feel like I've been working, like, behind the scenes just a little bit getting ready for the summer.
It's all about planning and being ready for it. I noticed, well, last week on the podcast, we talked to Shadell Arboretum and Gardens, and we were talking all about spring and flowers and plants. And then following that, I saw you did a social media post about a plant shop over in, was it Genoa?
Yeah, the Flourish Fest, yeah, in Genoa. Really cool shop. But yeah, I stopped over there to check out that place. It's a plant shop and a event center in the back. Really cool layout. Honestly, they can adapt it pretty well. So it was a pretty cool spot. Nice little trip out there.
Yeah, it looked really neat. I haven't been. So that's the really good thing about social media is it inspires you to want to visit places. And I was like, oh yeah, that looks really cool. Be a really nice place to visit. Of course, I'm not great with houseplants, so
I know nothing.
Exactly. I don't know if I'd be able to keep them alive, but they look pretty, and I would definitely enjoy visiting the shop. Especially there was a dog too, right? When you walked in the door, there was a dog.
Yeah, I'm a big dog person, but that dog was cute.
Ah, I love it. So anyway, speaking of creating fun online video and social content, today we get to talk to one of our favorite content creators and someone who's doing big things in promoting the communities and cultural events throughout Ohio and Michigan. From Festival Queen to host of Finding Festivals, independent producer Haley Robinson shares her love of community traditions through video. For the last decade, Haley has worked in the media industry and produced content for her online audience. Check out her television series at FindingFestivals.com and follow her adventures at Haley Story on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Welcome to the podcast today, Haley.
Thank you so much for having me. It is a treat to be in presence with the lovely Jill and the legendary Dayton.
Oh my gosh.
I had to ham it up a little bit.
Me and Haley always run into each other, like, just like we randomly ran into each other at the orchard or when we did a win over there for the Valentine thing.
Cupid's Coop. Yeah.
We have the same vibe, you know? We just know.
So. It's the energy is there. Let's start with Finding Festivals. Can you tell us, like, what is Finding Festivals?
Oh my goodness, this is my favorite subject. Not just because I made it, but because I really do love festivals. I have an irrational love of festivals. So Finding Festivals is a television program that is in the travel genre, but it utilizes annual events and community traditions to educate PBS viewers on the cultural impact, economic impact, historical impact that these annual events have. Kind of my background is I was a festival queen myself. I toured the state of Ohio. Even the, actually it was the Milan Melon Festival, that exact festival that like this idea came to me and I thought this would be such a cool travel show. I was met with criticism. I always call out my mother, even though she's my biggest fan today. She was the first one to say no one will watch that. So, but 12 years later, we're here. We have a 13-part series that debuted in Toledo on WGTE, and it is being picked up by national distributor NIDA, and it will be available to over 200 PBS affiliates across the country by the end of April.
Wow.
So you once told me, Haley, and we've known each other for a couple of years now, you mentioned that you were a festival queen. I mean, shout out Clyde Fair Queen, right?
Yes.
Just down the road from our area. And you said you were at the Milan Melon Festival. What was it that happened there that, you know, kind of made you think people need to find out more about these communities?
Yeah. So when you are a queen of your event or even the royalty court, you are an ambassador for your town. So just the experience of going to different towns that I would have never otherwise gone to, networking with people my age and having the commonality of we love our community really impacted me. But it was at the Milan Melon Festival that changed or really birthed the idea. So you typically dine with the royalty. Normally it's brunch. Sometimes it's dinner before the parade, but the Milan Melon Festival queen did something a little different that no one else had done. And she boarded everyone on a little charter bus, and we went to the birthplace of Thomas Edison. We went to a boutique of her choosing and then concluded our little mini tour in a melon field and took a photo. And that's when I realized what a cool way to experience a small town during a festival. Like, I got a taste of the, you know, historical impact, the Thomas Edison, which being in Clyde, I should have known that he wasn't far from me, but being a teen, I didn't realize that he was only like 30 minutes away from where I was. So I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then the fact that we were celebrating this cultural tradition that's been around for nearly half a century at the time was just really awesome. It was her showing her love of her town beyond the festival is what captivated me and made me decide, you know what? This is a cool way to travel and people should probably try it sometime.
Definitely.
I'm going to make it my mission to get out to that festival this year. Like, I think I missed the last two of them because of like other events, and I really wanted to try to go last year and I didn't get a chance to go.
You need to get out.
Shame. There. Shame. No, I'm just kidding.
Honestly, for real, like for real shame. I know it's huge. And it was like so interesting when I first learned about it. I was like, a melon festival? Like, what do you mean? Like, what is happening over here? And like, I have not had a chance to get over there, but I know it's a big thing.
I've heard the melon ice cream is to die for. Like, that's like the thing. If you're going to do it, the melon ice cream is the thing.
Yes.
To do.
It's produced by Toft Dairy here in Sandusky, and they only make it for the festival. So you can only get it there.
See, that's exactly why I need to be there. It's exclusive.
Yeah.
We need to get the exclusive. How did you go about funding, producing, and, you know, distributing your first season? I know that had to be a huge process, especially, you know, on your own to start off with.
One misconception people have about independent producers, specifically in the PBS space, is that PBS funds it. That is not true. As an independent producer, I'm solely responsible for the funding. Now, that is done either from my own pocket or through the help of sponsors like Shores and Islands and Destination Toledo. Woo-hoo. And, you know, yeah, you guys help make it happen. Through that, you know, I was also working a full-time job. I used a lot of my own money. We probably, between my husband and I, our household funds probably dumped about $15,000 into the show. And then I also donated a lot of labor. So I, you know, my hosting, my writing, my scheduling, my production assistant kind of work, my administrative tasks, the editing, because I was able to edit, that's the only reason I was able to skate by as cheap as I could, I guess you could say. All in all, if I actually paid myself, it would be an $87,000 production. And I didn't pay myself anything. I spent $15,000. And then also with PBS, you know, they do charge like a broadcast fee. So I have to pay them to air the show. But the luxury of it being that way is I got to choose where we would go.
Creative control.
Yes, I liked that. You know, the stress of coming up with everything was stress, you know, I'm not going to make it lighthearted, but I really appreciated being able to have the creative control and decide where we go, because that was one thing growing up. I always noticed on television, specifically Travel Channel, they never came to the smaller cities or came to Ohio really. And I wanted my backyard to be seen through the lens in which I had the perspective of, we have so much culture and traditions and nobody seems to know about it or be aware of it. And that I loved being able to do that through this show.
So tell us some of your favorite stories from the road. You said you got to pick the locations that you went to. What were some of your favorite festivals and destinations that you visited, you know, while you were filming the series?
Well, I mean, since I get to pick where we go, all of them are my favorite, but...
All right. Well, tell us maybe what's a unique story that maybe somebody needs to see, like a reason we need to tune into the show.
Yeah. You know, there probably every episode has at least one, but two that stand out is the pilot, which is the Festival of Sail. That was originally supposed to be a half episode with the Pirate Festival, but Captain Sabatini from the U.S. Brig Niagara was so captivating. I mean, I hung on every word, every breath, and his 40-minute interview, I had a hard time cutting down to 7 minutes.
Oh, I can't imagine.
He was just so great. And I never thought I would give two hoots about tall ships and walking away from that festival. I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone needs to go to one of these and learn about our past. It was just so amazing. So that actually became a whole episode. And then the Pirate Fest got sandwiched with the Circleville Pumpkin Show. It's called Pumpkins and Pirates. Creatively, it would make a lot more sense with the Festival of Sail. But again, Captain Sabatini just changed the whole trajectory. It was like, this guy has to have his moment. I mean, he's so good. Another one is the Thyagaraja Festival. That's actually coming up in a couple weeks in Cleveland. It's the largest classical Indian music festival outside of the country, India. So going in, we really didn't have expectation. I think when people think of cultural events, they have a reputation or a stigma, and then you add in the classical music and people think classical music's kind of stuffy. But this music, even though it's 1,000 years old, sounded modern. It was very percussive, very lively. And there was an unplanned interview. We actually got to sit in a ballroom at a hotel of veena players. Now the veena is, it kind of looks like a guitar, but it's about the size of like a small cello. Like, it's not a small instrument by any means. So you can imagine everyone's on the floor with their legs crossed playing their veena all across this ballroom. There had to have been at least 50 performers in there. And I was sitting amongst the performers learning about the national instrument of India. And again, that was completely unplanned. It was just one of the musicians saw our camera and they're like, hey, I have my entire school of veena players here. Do you want to come over and see us practice? And we're like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So our shoot actually extended an extra 3 hours. We were supposed to be done by 5. We stayed until almost 7 because we wanted to capture that. And it's like, she was awesome and we learned so much. So those kind of stories are kind of in every episode, but those are the two standouts because, again, we went in thinking one thing and we came out with a totally different vision for what it ended up being.
Yeah, so on these episodes, you visit the community, you go to the festival, but you also kind of venture outside of the actual festival grounds itself and see, you know, what else is happening in that area, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I look at it as, you know, of course, I'm a festival person. That is my travel style. But, you know, the places we're going, you can go to even if the festival isn't happening. Dublin Irish Fest, like, yeah, that's a really awesome festival, but you can visit Dublin, Ohio anytime, or the Put-in Bay Pirate Fest. Yeah, the Pirate Fest is really awesome, but you can go to Put-in Bay all summer long. So we really do try to create more of an evergreen component of like sharing what you can do in the destination with or without the festival, but we really highlight this, what makes the festival special.
Of course. That's nice. That's awesome. Maybe we do have the same energy. I feel like we're just like, as you're speaking, I'm just like, this sounds like something I do. No, that's awesome. I hear, you know, word on the street is, you're going national? Fighting Festivals is going national? What does that mean?
Yeah. So, there's like a whole, there's checks and balances, but in the PBS world, just to even be shown locally, your local station has to decide that your show is good enough to share for the local market. From there, you can offer it to a national distributor specifically for PBS. There are two national distributors that are common within the PBS world. There's NIDA and APT. We went through NIDA. So NIDA has a network of about 200 plus stations, and it will be shared with those stations, and they'll kind of decide if it's good for their audience. And the final step in the national component is if Create TV, which is a national syndicator, if they pick it up, then we'll be across every television, regardless of who our distributor is. So we're kind of halfway, we're at the halfway mark of being nationally syndicated. That's my end goal. But I'm just, for me, I'm just excited that my backyard gets the day in the sun that I always wanted. I'm watching a show that I wanted to see when I was a kid.
That's awesome. So congratulations. And we're really, you know, a proud sponsor and really happy to be a part of it. And of course, you know, going national is amazing as well. So definite congratulations to you on that. So in addition to our participation in Finding Festivals, we've worked with you in a number of capacities over the years. You've written some blogs for us, created some video content. We've done some social media marketing with you for our destination. From following you, we've noticed that you've even come to our area just on your own, you know, when you're not hired by us or working with us to promote. So what are some of the things here in Shores and Islands that, you know, that you like to come and experience?
Oh my goodness. I mean, the Shores and Islands region was my backyard as a kid. You know, being in Clyde, we drove to Sandusky. That was the place where things were happening. You know, of course, the annual summer trip to Cedar Point, but even, yeah. With my grandparents, we would always go to the carousel, the merry-go-round museum. I love that museum. Like, yeah. No one can tell me otherwise. I think it's the coolest thing. I remember, I think I was maybe six, and I learned about the Woody, they had a Woody Woodpecker one, and like the history behind it and what the carver was originally trying to do. I was like, wow, I didn't know these horses on these carousels had so much history about it. And I was just blown away by the story. And I think my love for those kind of stories is evident in the content that I make. I truly love to hear the behind the scenes of how this was made or why, who was inspired by what. Toff's ice cream, actually, funny story. So my grandparents would bribe me with Toff's ice cream to see my cousin. So I had a cousin who lived nearby and I didn't like him. Because he was a boy, I just didn't like, I was like, ew, he's a boy. Yeah. And they're like, well, you know, Jordan's going to stay with us, but when we pick him up, we'll get Toff's ice cream. And I was like, oh, all right, fine. We can go get Jordan. Yeah. We can go get Jordan if I get an ice cream. So Toff's, you know, that was the thing they used to bribe me with. And then I actually worked at Put in Bay for an entire summer at the Park Hotel. And I worked under Tip Philip Boyle. He was one of the best managers to date, in my personal opinion, and just learning the island culture, like going there for a day as a visitor is one thing, but like being on the island as a worker, you just have a totally different perspective of it. And I'm so grateful for my time on the island.
I don't think that I knew that, Haley.
Oh, well, you're learning new stuff.
I don't remember that I knew that you worked on the island for a summer. So that's amazing. It has some hospitality industry experience, and I'm sure that that all translates into what you're doing now. So on that note, what are you up to now? What new projects do you have on the horizon?
Yeah. So while Finding Festivals does its national run and we kind of see what the national response is, I currently am a host and producer for BCAN, the Buckeye Community Arts Network. And I am hosting and producing a new show called In the Kitchen, where I'm in a kitchen and I'm learning how to cook from our local chefs. And here's the kicker. I don't cook. So it's quite the sight to see me struggle through these meals. I don't know what I'm doing. So it's just kind of like, oh, what's Haley going to do now? I think, especially the pilot, it was kind of like, is she going to keep a finger? Is she not? Because it was a really big knife I was working with. I'm like, I don't know if I can handle all this knife. This is a lot.
I think that's good. I think that brings some joy to the viewers. I think everybody would, you know, enjoy that. Not seeing anybody get hurt,
but not seeing like, you lose a limb, but
yeah, not that part. But I think we would enjoy, you know, just something real.
You can connect with that too, right? I don't cook either, but I can watch cooking shows.
Yeah, I will say this: like one thing that I've really adopted in my hosting style is I don't mind coming off silly. Like that doesn't bother me. Like trying to do something I am not good at. I'm totally out of my element doing this show. And it's kind of obvious. Like anyone who knows me, they're like, yeah, she's not in her world. She does better at festivals, but that's kind of the comedic value. Like, I don't mind looking silly and being wrong. I don't need to be the expert. And that's, I genuinely like to learn. And even like in Fine Festivals, there's a whole episode, the Geneva Grape Jamboree, where I'm stomping grapes on stage for like 70 people on top of it being on television. And I hate my feet being filmed. So I was really out of my comfort zone that day. But it worked, you know, that was a cultural tradition. And I was like, yeah, I don't mind getting dirty, I guess. So that's something that I've infused in my own hosting style.
That's awesome. You got a lot. It's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. You got a lot of new stuff coming and you got a lot of things growing. Where can people go to find, you know, more information about you, about the Finding Festivals, about upcoming things?
Absolutely. So they can actually go to findingfestivals.com. All of my social media links are there, which I am on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. And my username is Haley Story. My name is spelled a little different though. It's H-A-Y-L-I-E. My mom did not make it SEO friendly, although she does remind me that, girl, SEO did not exist when you were born.
I never thought about your name not being SEO friendly. Oh my gosh.
Well, when you try to type in Haley, like there's like 20 different ways to spell Haley, but like, you know, the typical way always pops up. So I'm like, no one's ever going to find me because it's not spelled correctly, you know?
I think being unique helps you stand out.
Hopefully, yeah. Once people know that it exists, kind of thing. SEO hasn't figured out how to serve my name. But they can do that. And then also, you can actually stream all 13 episodes on PBS.org. It's completely free. There's a little search bar. So you go to PBS.org, search Finding Festivals, and all 13 episodes are there. So you can see the Festival of Sail and meet Captain Sabatini. You can see me trying to be a pirate for a day at the Pirate Fest. I had way too much fun at that shoot, by the way. I got a pirate hat. I was like, I got to shoot off a cannon. I'm like, wow, okay, cool. I'm blowing things up. Awesome. It was like, and I told my camera guys, I'm like, I'm never going to a festival without a camera crew again because I like having the control of blowing up a cannon. This is awesome.
That's so cool.
So, you know, you can see all of that and truly indulge in the beautiful community traditions that make the Midwest so special and culturally diverse.
So that's really cool that the episodes are available right now. I mean, anywhere you are in the country, you can go to PBS.org and search for Finding Festivals. And hopefully soon you'll be able to catch it on your TV whenever it is airing.
Yes, absolutely. And I will also shout that it's important for me to make this show free, but it was made possible because of support from Shores and Islands, Ohio, Destination Toledo, and Fort Wayne Museum of Art. Had you guys not been such amazing partners, I wouldn't have been able to make it free for people. And that was really important to me, to make it free for everyone.
So, you know, we talked about what you're doing now. Do you anticipate or are you hopeful that you'll do another season?
I am definitely hopeful. Like I said, from age 8, I have been dreaming of taking Samantha Brown's job. I will never replace her. She is the OG travel host, but I remember looking at her as a kid and I'm like, I want to be a travel host when I'm older. So I do hope that I can make a season 2 and go go to festivals all around the country, all around the world. Cause like I said, I am beyond just a fan. Like I am a fanatic of festivals. Anyone who knows me knows that I integrate festivals in my daily travel style. So it's not just a show thing. Like this is how I travel. I chase the festivals.
I've also noticed on your Finding Festivals social media page that you're sharing like upcoming events, what festivals are going on around Ohio and Michigan and stuff like that. So that's a great place for people to find things to do in their communities and beyond. Really appreciate, we are, you know, happy to be a part of it and so excited for you that you're, you know, going national and exposing these small communities to such a wider audience, and hopefully people will support you, and you know, season 2 will be right around the corner.
Absolutely. It's been a real treat, and I truly am so blessed and so grateful that, like I said, I've had the opportunity to share my perspective and how I see my backyard with the masses.
It's awesome. Anything else that you want to be sure to add today?
I think if you have time, or even if festivals aren't your thing, I do encourage you to check out the show, because this season specifically, I really focused on the cultural diversity in the Midwest. There's 5 episodes that are dedicated to cultural events, and from the Thyagaraja to the Saginaw Chippewa annual powwow, Dublin Irish Festival, Tulip Time, where Holland, Michigan's very Dutch infused.
Yeah.
It really shows like the Midwest is very culturally rich and diverse, and the episodes are worth a watch. But I know I'm biased, but I think they're worth a watch.
I won't disagree. I also agree that it's a great show, and hopefully everybody will check it out. So special thanks to Haley Robinson from Finding Festivals for joining us today. And thank you, as always, for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a minute of the action here in Shores and Islands, Ohio. You can find more information, including past episodes of this podcast, online at shoresandislands.com. And Dayton and I will see you next time on The Shoreline.